We also didn't get any podcast ad libs.
Brat.
Cool.
It's a hippity hop. No. And we're on Corey's show and we won't stop until the bang bang boogity rip rip and rapity.
Boogie to the boogity beat. That was it, man.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Gab Street Podcast, Columbus, Ohio's number one podcast for underground talent. Every week, we have new conversations with interesting individuals who contribute to the Columbus economy and its lively culture. You may find just what you're looking for right in your backyard. Let's get right into it.
Snippets of.
Are you guys involved in video editing?
I'm just getting started.
What
are you using?
Well, right now, nothing, but I'm about to get that Sony A6000.
But what are you using to edit video?
Oh, I just got Adobe Premiere. I got the Creative Cloud, everything. So
you like it?
I haven't tried it yet. I was using Vegas to edit my videos. I was using Vegas with some Red Giant software.
What?
Red Giant.
Yeah, what Red Giant?
Oh, just like some transitions. Like I like the VHS transition a lot.
Yeah, and the universe packs. Mm-hmm. I'm all Red Giant too, Magic Bullet and all that stuff. Do you know Ice?
Hell yeah. I haven't jumped too big into that world. But
Avicii
I like
Resolve, man. You got to check it out. It's free.
I've heard so much about...
If you buy it, there's a one-time fee of $300, mm-hmm. and you own it for life. That's nice. The updates and everything. And it's the best color grading software. Premiere, for me, it was counterintuitive. I'm a Mac guy. If I would have went on like Final Cut or something, it would have been way more intuitive. My workflow would have been way faster. Mm-hmm. So all the draw... Premiere just looks like a PC program, which I've never used a PC. So for me, it was like, what the hell's going on?
Never used a PC.
No. I mean, I've always been on Apple.
Yeah.
That's like the opposite of me.
Yeah.
What are the advantages versus PC? I mean, you haven't used a PC, but you may be able to answer that question.
I mean, for me, back in the day, it was always just, you know, they're better for all the arts. But, I mean, now you can build your own computer, so whatever.
That's
true. And Macs, I don't know. I'm waiting for that offshoot company to kind of smash Mac down and just level the playing field.
Yeah.
Like, I'll still rock with Mac, but they don't need... Those prices are outrageous. Come on.
I got this little thing for $250.
Yeah.
It's doing so much.
I'm sure it's a beast. Yeah.
It's just a little Linux machine. It's a little Chromebook, man.
And can you run OS X on it then, since it's Linux?
Probably.
Yeah. So you can just hack it and have a Hackintosh. So that's probably the next wave I'll do. I'll build my own and just make... You know, run an OS, but I like it. DaVinci Resolve, it's free. Check it out, and the color grading software is definitely what you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So, post footage and then throw it, and then just dump the XML into Premiere.
Yeah, I'll check that out. I got it saved in my phone.
So, pedestrians, as you can see, I have surrounded myself with people that know 10 times as much as I do, and that's how you become smart.
I don't know about that, man. I'm so fucking tired. I can barely.
I like that you're double stacked here with the coffee.
Yeah,
he's dumping this shit down his throat. He's gonna be off the walls by the end of the episode. It's gonna be awesome.
I was on this run where I was getting up at like 7 a.m., not going to bed till to midnight, 1 in the morning, for like a month straight. So I was just living off of these, and I'm still on it.
This is the podcast lifestyle. This is the way you do it. You know this very well.
I do.
Yeah. We are here today with Chuck Johnson.
Yes.
He also goes by Product. Let me see if I can list every single title I can give you under this list. So you are an educator.
Yes.
You are a musician.
Correct.
You are a podcast host.
Yeah.
You are a photographer.
Yes.
You do a lot of mixed media art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything? Chef. You teach people how to cook. Yes.
Yeah.
Caravan.
I have a kids cooking company. I'm part of a kids cooking company that I helped found.
So you're a man
soon to be author. So.
Yeah. Well, tell me about that.
My friend Sam Fowle and I, you guys should get hip to his work. You should have him on too. He's an amazing artist.
Okay.
He's worked with Saturday Night Live to The Simpsons. He was hired by George Lucas to do the 30th anniversary Empire Strikes Back poster. He's just a dude like us. He's in Hilliard, a teacher. And, you know, when he puts the kids to bed, it's just like go time. And he just, you know, is nasty with the pen. So he and I have concocted our first book. It's the potty training book for kids. Because okay. I'm a music educator. I start my days with like a crying room full of babies, and they bring me in, and I'm the guy with the guitar and the drums. So that's how I start my day. And I end it with big kids with guitars and drums. So there's a lot of, you know, duplicity there.
You listed all that stuff about him, and then you went potty training book, and yeah, I wasn't yeah. expecting yeah. that to be the...
Yeah. So that's our first one. We also have other stuff we're doing. He and I are... and another friend, Kachata Young, we're doing a series of like comic book singles, each single, each like 7-inch will have, you know, a story of the comic book involved. So we're working on that next. So we're not all just children's books, but okay. it's the first one we have in the bag. So
much respect.
Sure.
Sounds like a good gift for Zay Crypto here, file for him on his birthday. That would be cool. Yeah.
You a comic book guy?
Not really.
Okay.
You can be, and you will be. I will make you be a comic book.
Yeah. You still never got the word to Kane. Try to bling it back, but it's coming really fast. Set hell bent from a place in the past. Just ignore it, it will pass. Close those eyelids made of glass. Whoa, a tight fist of a night, wrist and a fight pit wound. You know, those Asterix books, not an e-book, guys probably don't know. It's like some...
Oh, Asterix. Asterix. The French... comic. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I guess you're more cultured than me. I just call it Asterix. Asterix.
I took French for 9 years and I retained just a comic book name, so.
There it is.
Those were the only comic books I read when I was a kid.
I think a cool graphic novel series would be the process of making a Math of Trees song.
Wow. Because
I want to ask you about that shit, because I was listening to... your interview with the other guy that you do it with, on, what's his name?
John Hubble.
Okay. You did that on, Sounds of Bustown.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking about how Math of Trees, go check it out, by the way, it's fucking dope, is what was a, could have been a 9-year, but a 10-year process. So.
well, John lives in New York City.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those projects to where we don't work that well remotely, but we work so well together, and it's a unified group. It's just he and I, and I might come up with a sketch for, you know, a song, and John will do the same. And then we usually get together a few times a year and demo each other's material and just build from there. But then from there, we, you know, it can take a really long time. We're meticulous. And
I can tell.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything means something. Every note, every mix, every blend. Like, we painstakingly go over all those things. So it means a lot to us. So we really put our time in it. And we didn't care how long it took, honestly. We could have been out, you know, years ago. We didn't. It's like, nah. It's not perfect. And
it's finished.
Yeah, that's how it always was with he and I. So, and we just kind of saw that through. And it took a while, but it didn't seem like that, because it's not like we were 9 years we're sitting around like banging our heads against the wall like, come on, you know, let's fix this drum break here. It was just like a couple times a year, you know, and he's in a band called the Hunter Tones.
I've heard of them.
Band.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the drummer of that band. So they tour the world. I mean, literally the world.
Yeah.
So all those guys that's kind of our camp. So that's kind of our pool of musicians that are all our, you know, our peers.
Nice.
And, you know, like I said, we're really spoiled because we can sketch these ideas. I can peck something out, you know, and do a little horn run or, you know, a bass line and just call up my friends and be like, you know, what do you think of this? Like, I see what you're going for here. So then John and I'll bring a session musician in and we'll record them. And then, you know, John and I take a lot of time really editing those takes and rearranging them and just remixing everything they played.
Man, that's the dream. That's brilliant.
That was always mine, man. So that's why I'm so happy it's out, because when I got into production, it was all about that. Like, one day, if I could ever work with a real violin player.
That's how I feel.
I'm going to sample these strings off this classical record. Now I have strings. Yes. So to be able to bring these musicians in and, like, see it through, it's super exciting. So
I just want to be able to lay it out in the DAW and then take all the MIDI input away and then just be like, make that for me.
That's Matt Patrice.
Yeah.
And you know, the electronic sounds, you can see there's some bit of a skeleton there, and there we do keep some electronic moments in there, but for the most part, you know, it'd be like, I'll lay it out and just tell John, you know, like he'll hear it, like, so what is this exactly? I'm like, oh, well, you're playing the break, we got Dan on the sax, we're bringing Adam in on this, and then we're gonna get Liz to do the strings, so really nothing you're hearing is on and is there, but it's there. It's just a demo. Nice. It's like showing your buddy a guitar riff. Like, you hear it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's kind of like that. So it's been a fun project, and we're really proud of it. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely do that. We have tapes and vinyl. I should have brought you vinyl. I thought you were at the show. I just didn't.
Sorry.
I thought you were coming to the show, man.
I thought I was coming to the show.
That's all good.
Sorry.
It's all good.
If you have not gone and checked it out, go check out after this episode, because you're going to hear it between what we're talking about today. So it'll be showcased within. It's all one package. It's
all right. Really cool. I like it.
Just so much of that. When it's 10 years, that's half of my lifetime.
Sure.
I'm 19 years old. That's over half of my lifetime. So that is like that's compare that album to me when I was 10 years old. Like, that's the formative period of I was growing up to that point. That's what this album is. Like, what does that just become such a, how much of your time was dedicated to it over that 10 years?
Like I said, John would come into town and it might be three times a year, sometimes once, yeah. You know, so, but he might stay for 3 weeks and we would work on it. And I mean, we go in, like, we don't have small sessions. It's all nighters, you know, I'm taking,
you have to, yeah,
time off work. It was a big project, especially for two people. We weren't just going to a studio and recording songs. We were doing it all ourselves. And the learning curve came with just, I mean, you know how it is. You hear these beats in your head.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them out? You know, we don't have the chip that we can just USB yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, take it out of your head.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's like all these things. And like you're experiencing now, how do you get those to sound like they do up here?
Yeah. Half of it is just technical bullshit.
Sure. Sure. You know, mic placement, you know, engineering. So we had to do all those things. And 10 years ago, we weren't, the technology wasn't even
where
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Things have changed so much.
Yeah. And then our knowledge base.
Yeah.
You know, he's been touring the world. I've been in my studio doing all my things. So we've both been pushing each other to develop our skills. So it's like 10 years to start this thing full on. We just always had a vision as to what we wanted it to be. And we had faith in each other, and I mean, we knew we were had a stacked deck with all the players we were messing with. So,
did you ever scrap songs that you started, and then like 5 years later, you're like, "Nah, we can do better."
Yeah, yeah, but some it's funny because now that we're going back on those things, after you put them away for a while, you can kind of uncover some, you know, some things that you might have missed.
Yeah.
Or you like mute a drum track, you know, when you're dealing with like 60 tracks or 100 tracks. And then you're like, what about if we just take all the drums out? Let's just listen to the all percussion.
Yeah.
And like, wow, what the hell were we doing there? You know, it's all these like happy mistakes, you know, and like when we bring musicians in, we play them the beat and we just put it on loop pretty much and just kind of describe our feelings, trying to put them in that, you know, that mindset of the vibe of the song, and just let them go. You know, it's not like, okay, it's just four bars, play these notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got that. Move on to the chorus. All right, you got eight bars. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's just recording and recording and miles and miles and miles of tape, and then just going in there and like really building it. So
wow.
So I mean, yeah, for note, sometimes just like dissecting every track from every person.
Yeah.
Including ourselves. So I mean, there's nothing left unturned when we've recorded this. Some of those songs that we started out early on, we might make a new song, and that other song that we felt was a little weak might just be a section in that new song.
Mm-hmm.
So we would bring, or like, hey, I think this is in the same key, around the same tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Could we use those strings from that song and bring it over here? And, you know, and as we grew and we got better at mixing, the songs did as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, yeah, we had this mix 5 years ago, but God, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know about compression.
Oh my God.
We didn't know how to make these drums really bang.
That's crazy, because my friend and I have not even been doing this for 5 years. We say that all the time.
Exactly.
So it's never going to end, is it? We're always going to be looking back.
Can always mix it. And like John said that on our last podcast. It's like we could still be mixing this record, but we were to the point where, you know, it's time. And now we have, you know, new material, which is, you know, way different than this.
So you kind of take the sculpture approach, like a Michelangelo with a large obelisk, and then you just kind of whack at it until the David falls out, you know what I mean?
I mean, you know, there are a lot of ideas that we have going in, but sometimes those happy accidents will really lead the way. You know, we'll accidentally pitch shift something or halftime. I think one of the examples on the record was we accidentally hit the hot key to halftime a sample, these strings that we recorded, just by accident. And we're just like both like, what the hell was that? Do that. Hit that right there. And then it was an accident. Then that was like a whole new tool that we put in our bag. So it's like, oh, okay. So, you know, those things just, you know, you got to just keep pushing it and watch the YouTube tutorials and learn about compressors and EQing.
Yeah, hell yeah. For sure.
Do you have classical music education?
No. John does.
John does?
I'm more of a, you know, hip-hop beat maker.
Okay.
You know.
Cool.
So, I mean, I like all the musics. You know, I can't really say I dislike, well, I mean, new country probably, but,
you know. I feel like everybody says that.
But
except for country.
No, I'm down with country, but some of that new stuff, especially the hip-hop stuff, is just like, that's just different.
Oh, well, yeah, that's pretty awful.
Oof. I mean, it's not my thing. I mean, I know kids are kids, and they're going to like stuff that they like.
We were talking to J-Rolls about how much things have changed since he started, and like they couldn't have possibly imagined any of this stuff back then.
No,
it's not even hip hop anymore. It's like its own thing.
A Grammy award winning homosexual African American, like that's a huge deal. Like that happened. And didn't Trent Reznor get a Grammy out of that too? Because Lil Nas X got one? Because they sampled a song?
Lil Nas X got a Grammy.
Yeah, I think he won it, or nominated, or he got one.
Why did he get a Grammy?
I mean,
he had a hot song.
That's how it works, man. I mean, I don't know. I did, you know, it wasn't my call on that. But I'm a music educator, so my kids love that song. Oh. And you drop that song at the kid dance party, look out, the 3-year-olds are going to bust it.
You're right.
Well, let's talk about music preferences for a little bit, because this is something that I think about constantly, where what actually forms what you like to listen to. And for me, so far, it's been what I grew up with.
Sure.
Mostly is the bass, what I've been hearing since I was a small kid. Like, I grew up listening to the Blitz in the car.
Okay.
You know?
Parents?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was what bands?
A lot of Rage Against the Machine. Okay. A lot of one song, Alcohol and Ass, comes to mind. Hell yeah.
All right.
And how that translated into hardcore rap and well, I mean, I have a Mad Villain poster and a RTJ and a Brother Ali up there, and then finally to jazz. And I'm just, what are your thoughts on how those kinds of things develop? Because, I mean, you educate kids on how to make music.
So you're right about it being what you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's very important to expose everybody to more music or just, you know, different styles of things that you might not otherwise hear. Man. And some stuff's bound to stick, you know. I come from a background like you. It was classic rock, and like and then from there I went to heavy metal, and that was like like cousins were like hip hop and metal to me. It was like, well, this is almost the same thing. And I love drums, so so I got that got me really into like rap music back then. But
give me some artists who are your tops.
Top five MCs?
Sure, if you want to go there.
Or just bands I like.
Either way. I know it's very difficult.
All the guys in book club and rock and roll book club podcast I'm part of, they all have like their list guys. They know all their artists. And I'm the guy that like, who's your favorite band? Like, what day of the week is it?
Yeah.
What genre? Like, you know, favorite? I don't know. I like this guy's record. I grew up on Metallica.
Okay.
Like early Metallica. I was a skater. So I got into that. Nice. And then it was like NWA. So like those things were kind of together for me. But I mean, I like Gangstar a lot. I'm a big Gangstar fan.
They're coming out with something new.
It's out.
It's out already?
Yeah, about 3 weeks probably.
Shit.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
The Gangstar record, obviously. I'm a big Gangstar fan. Sean Price is one of my top five MCs. I'm just going to say random things, I guess.
Okay.
I'm a big Portishead fan.
Let's talk about Aesop.
He's in my top five.
Aesop Rock.
He's in my top five.
I don't know if this audience knows, but I'm a dedicated Aesop Rock fan.
Yeah, I noticed that when I walked in.
Yeah, it's right up there. It's behind the camera.
I can testify that Corey talks about Aesop Rock more than...
Aesop.
Aesop. Let's not get crazy.
You want to try that again?
Aesop Rock.
Do you mean Aesop Rocky?
Aesop Rocky.
Every time. I know.
No. Corey talks about Aesop Rock more than most rappers I know.
Do you like music for earthworms?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You dig it?
I like that. Do you like Appleseed?
I don't think I've heard that one.
It's early. I think it's like... That's real early Aesop stuff. I didn't get him... To me, when I first heard him, because I've been rocking with LP since Company Flow, like way back when they were out. My DJ friend, I started out my music career in a metal band. I was a lot like Rage, but we had a DJ, so you can imagine what this sounded like.
Oh yeah,
you know, quiet and loud and screamy vocals and some scratching. So some might call that rap metal, but I don't want to admit that on the air. but we had, you know, we were kind of doing that, and my DJ was just a super indie hip-hop guy back then, way before anybody was hip. Like, so he got me, his name's Jay Vision, just shout out to Jay Vision. But he got me hip to, like, Company Flow, Dr. Octagon, like, all that kind of stuff. So that's when I started following LP, which, you know, leads to Def Jux and Aesop Rock. I didn't get him at first.
Yeah.
I was just like, this guy's... I didn't like his vocals. I didn't like his, like, weird tone. And I just wasn't feeling him at all. And then it just hit me one day, like, this is the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. And then, I mean, his career has been awesome because, you know, then he just learned to make his own beats. And I like his choice in production, which can be a problem with a lot of MCs that I do like. I mean, I can't pick their beats for them. They're going to rap on what they want to rap on, but sometimes I don't want to hear those beats.
Usually what I get with Ace is, you know, the commonly passed around, like, graph of wordiness per rapper?
Yeah, I have that poster, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. It's like, everybody over here, and then Big Gap, and then Aesop Rock right over here with, like, 7,500 unique words per minute. I don't know, something ridiculous like that. But that is like, are you kind of are you interested in linguistics? Are you attuned to big words?
I like someone that's educated versus just like, I mean, I want to hear shoot 'em up joints too.
Yeah.
You know, I just like that stuff. It's fun.
I love both. Yeah, for sure.
But if you're really saying something, you know, like I said, noticed your, you know, Brother Ali poster up there. So if you're really talking, you're really saying something. I mean, it's about intonation and tone on a mic for me. Sometimes I won't even listen to what the guy's saying if I'm not feeling him, but the beat's nice and his tone over the beat or the way his delivery on the beat's nice. So, but Ace, you know, you try to pay attention, like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, what did he say? Like, I don't know.
It's okay. Like studying for a test.
Right.
You gotta go through on genius.com and figure all that shit out.
Not a lot of people are sensitive to something like cadence. Most people, that's cool you say that. Like, most people would just be like, oh, he's got a nice flow. I like his bars, but like, cadence is really important.
Yeah.
Cadence will make or break a lot of artists.
Yeah. Or make or break a track and, you know, on a song and the delivery on that track.
Like, imagine 6ix9ine, if his cadence wasn't on point, he would have never blown up.
Just speaking of just being a good MC in general, shout out to Just real quick.
Yeah.
So that was a dope fucking song that he was on.
Yeah, yeah. And Generic John, those two are together on that. I've been, see, that was, I was, there was a old hip hop crew named Bottom Brick, and I was the DJ in that group. And it was John Haskins, who was Seance, and Adjust, and another, and myself. So we were a crew. And
when was that?
God, a long time ago, probably like 10 years ago. But that being said, that developed into me and Adjust having our own project, which is Advanced Placement. We haven't done anything in quite a while. We played it 2x2 for a few years.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So and he just won a big battle. He won actually this year's battle.
Yeah, the Killer 16s at 2x2 this year.
Yeah, so he's real nice on the mic. We've been friends forever. So, if, you know, I usually, he's on my call list. But we're also really good friends, and we've made a bunch of records together.
Cool.
And we're working on something this year as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
cooking it up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things happening now that I have this record off the plate. So now I can work and kind of see these other projects through and get more video editing done and all that things.
Dope.
So.
Hey guys, this is Zay Crypto, here to tell you about my debut project, Liftoff, dropping December 1st. This is the culmination of the past 3 years of my life put into music. It's a short EP, but it's my first time writing to my own instrumentals. My production skills have improved immensely this year, and this is just a taste of what's to come. In this project, I tried to display my versatility and express my innermost thoughts and feelings. I also want you to get a better sense of who I am as a person. Music has been such a huge influence in my life and has given me purpose when I had none. I want to create music that gives people strength, and I'm hoping that you'll find something in my music that makes you feel less alone. I have a very eclectic taste in my music, so it's hard for me to pin down what my style is. However, if you like hip-hop, rock, or experimental music, then this EP is for you. Look for Liftoff on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and all other major streaming platforms on December 1st. Thank you for your time. Now back to the show.
There's no connection to food, and people, and we just saw a need for the kids that we were working with, and especially in our community. They're losing that connection, and I think, if nothing, food and food prep is a team building exercise for anyone. I mean, most people enjoy at least standing in a kitchen, nibbling, or maybe they'll slice something, or maybe they'll have an idea. You know, breaking bread's a big thing. I mean, in our culture, you know, we go out to eat a lot. We have restaurants everywhere, but you know, when you do that together, it's a common goal. So you can put down your differences, and then, you know, and really work on something unique and creative, and hopefully that tastes good and that will sustain you. You know, we're losing touch of all that with the next generation of these little kids, and every, you know, a lot of the kids we work with think food comes out of a box. Where do you get your, where's chicken come from? A box.
Yeah, that's, I mean, true. Duh. Yeah.
So it's a big focus for us to, you know, educate young minds and getting them, you know, teaching them, you know, we're working with 4 and 5 year olds, teaching them how to like use paring knives and proper knife techniques. A lot of adults don't know this stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I saw this TV show on Netflix called Cooked, and it kind of talks about that, how there's been this massive change in the past few decades, and a lot of our eating habits have gone away. Now we just do fast food.
Yeah, it's completely based on convenience, man.
Yeah.
We're also lacking a lot of the nutrients that we need to be getting.
There we go.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest point of it. And these kids are expected to learn inside a box, and they're just fed a box. So, I mean, it's not good for their development at all. They're missing out on all the, you know, vital nutrients and nutritional qualities of this, you know, food, these foods. We used to just grow it in our backyards and then prep it, but we're so far away from that now.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, our goal with the caravan is that we can, you know, we work a lot of community houses, and we do a lot of outreach. So a lot of these kids are latchkey kids, or there's not somebody at home. And we try to teach them to deconstruct those kind of recipes and learn how they can flip these things. Because I grew up in a house like that, and we didn't have a lot of things. We didn't have a lot of money, or parents weren't around to do it, and we just would explore. Like, I think some of the first weirdo things we made was like a can of chicken noodle soup, and then we were just grabbing all these ingredients out of it and putting it in the soup, and we called it the soup. But that was our first thing. Like, we're making the soup.
The soup.
Oh, throw some banana peppers in there. This is gonna be crazy.
Oh, I did that shit too. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Like, I used to go over to my grandparents' house, and we would make just all sorts of concoctions.
Sure.
And they would make sure that it's edible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because I was 5 years old, yeah. I was trying to throw fucking hockey pucks in there. But like, yeah. It just. That's a very important part of my childhood, yeah. Personally.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate to have had that experience. Don't know how to cook now. I don't remember any technical things about it, but just knowing that there is more you can do with food,
yeah.
than going to McDonald's in the morning and grabbing an Egg McMuffin.
Yes.
You know what? Have you ever had homemade Egg McMuffins? You ever had that shit? It's delicious.
It's a little different.
It is a little different. And when you do it right, it's amazing. But you just got to have a fast food worker make it for you. You know? It's not that hard.
Yeah.
A month ago, I tell you about this. I did this thing where it was my Tuesday class was my latest wake-up time. And so I would get up a little earlier. And my challenge to myself was to make something increasingly difficult each Tuesday morning as I went on.
Oh yeah, you were telling me something about that.
That lasted about 3 weeks, and then I fell off. But I'm going to try it again. I did, I just made, an egg at first.
Sure.
Cracked two eggs, made fried egg, made it over easy. I ate it, and I was proud of myself because it came out well. And then I made egg burgers, and I set off the fire alarm several times. But that's how you learn.
Yeah, you know, turn that heat down a little bit.
You just got to experiment. You got to, that eating is what, we are made of you are what you eat biologically.
Yeah.
It affects your mood. It affects
absolutely
how you retain information. Yeah. It affects everything in your life. And, if you eat something that was made in 5 seconds in a fryer, you have been made in 5 seconds in a fryer. That's what's going to come out of your energy in your daily life.
Have you seen school lunches lately?
I just got out of high school.
Yeah, so you know the deal.
I graduated this year. I've seen that shit.
And it's, the budget's not there for the schools.
Yeah.
For the lunches. That's the last thing.
Plus, they try to make you pay for that shit.
Yes, and they're relying on Coca-Cola and Pepsi deals.
Well, there's that. Yeah, so the whole system's broken, and there are answers, but I don't know if everyone's willing to sacrifice their. People think they're so busy that they can't do these things. A lot of even the kids and the adults that I deal with and the clients that we work with are under the impression that that's unattainable. It's an unattainable goal. It's just me. I can't cook. For me, how do I make a meal? It's just easier for me to go through a drive-thru. And I was guilty of that at a younger age, too. But, when you cook a big meal and then just have, containers full of that in your freezer,
yeah.
And once you get a couple of these big meals made, then you have a plethora of things to, to flip. So, I don't know. I'm all about that. I cook for myself. I cook for my dog. I cook for my friends. It's, food is life. And we love what we do. And we love reaching out to the clients and teaching kids about food and teaching them how to break down these ingredients and prepare them.
And how long have you been teaching kids how to cook?
We've been doing, we're going on 8 years. Yeah, for a cooking caravan. Yeah. So.
And you've grown up with some of these kids then. They've grown up through the program, maybe.
We do see recurring kids out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They come to different events and whatnot. And we have our client base is pretty vast.
Hmm.
We teach at Franklin Preparatory Academy, and that's a high school cooking class. So for high schoolers, so guys it would have been a class. So it would have been an elective. You come and learn to cook with us.
That's cool.
And then we go into preschools and teach them about, eating strawberries, or we'll read a story and then tie that in with food and have a food experience that these kids can kind of try to cling to. So we and then we do, you know, the elderly population. So we've done cooking classes for dogs. I mean, we don't teach the dogs to cook, course, but that would be cool. Yeah. But you know, just it's, you know, it's all what you put in your body, and I've been guilty on it. I'm like on a 2.5 month cleanse of like sugar, wheat, dairy. And you feel totally different. There's sugar in everything. I mean, read the ingredients. It's crazy. You buy a can of tomatoes, and like one of the first ingredients is like sugar. Like, I just want tomatoes. Bro, like,
you sound like my mom right now.
I mean, it's.
I mean, like, she's a brilliant woman. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Wow.
God, shut up! You sound like my mom.
My mom, like, does health coach stuff.
There it is. Yeah.
She's.
So she knows.
She doesn't make money off it yet, but she's about to. Good. She's been training this for
Shout out to mom.
Yeah, for sure. She's been telling me this shit my whole life. I was raised vegan because of her.
There you go.
So.
Well, like, that's an experience you have that you always have. And just despite what you choose to put in your body, you always have that foundation.
Yeah.
And again, that's with music, with photography, with, you know, videography, anything, you have to have that foundation and then to build upon.
Man, so whether it's this or music, you just spend a lot of time in the kitchen, don't you?
Yeah, and half the time, yeah, I'm cooking. Yeah, well said. Nice. But yeah, and half the time, my studio is in my kitchen. I'm one of those guys that's always in his kitchen.
Yeah,
that's always a meeting place for my friends, and I'm always the hub. Everybody comes to my house. That's where my studio is. It's where, you know, the cooking company meets. That's where the artists meet. So it's always a hub. And you know, when your friends roll in, you're in the kitchen making food. Or half the time, my friends roll in with a bag of food because they don't know what to do with it either. So they just roll come. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. If I'm not, you know, I get to be creative with food.
That's great.
You know, versus just, you know, noises.
See, that's why I want to learn how to cook, so I can just have fun like that.
Exactly.
I work with this one guy. My job, I work at Piatta. It's like this Italian restaurant. Yeah.
Shout out Piatta.
Yeah, shout out Piatta.
Sponsors.
Please,
Piatta sponsored. Ask them. You better ask them.
Okay. They're going to say no, but my boss got... He went to culinary school. He's the only one there that actually knows how to cook.
Sure.
And we'll just bring him, like, ingredients from the Meijer across the road, and he'll just cook something up. Like, he made pizza the other day. We brought him a pineapple. He made, like, spicy pineapple chicken.
He knows what's going
on. Yeah,
yeah. Good for him. And then for you, because you're going to, you know, just pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that with my grandma, like you said it with your grandparents. You know, my grandma would just, it was always just sitting around, and just in 5 minutes, she would have like a 4-course dinner. And like, there's no food here. What are we going to eat?
Yeah.
I remember going out in the yard and picking like dandelion greens and bringing them. It was just always amazing to me. So I had that, you know, like you can always find something to eat if you know how to cook it, how to prep it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a can of a vegetable and a protein, you know, like you can do something.
Yeah.
So that really stuck with me at an early age. Because I mean, when you do grow up hungry, it's different. It's different saying there's nothing to eat versus there's nothing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's a whole different thing, and there's a lot of hungry kids out there, and even when these pantries do a wonderful job of making sure that people have resources, but a lot of times these kids do not know what to do with these things. So that's where we come in,
mm-hmm.
and like break down those pantry boxes. What can you do with this? How do you prep this? What is this thing here? What is a beet? How do you eat it? How do you make it? Because you know, you see so many people, and even when we volunteer at the food bank, people want process things.
Yeah,
they want where's the like Slim Jims and potato chips. I mean, no shade. It's just how, you know, like that's what it is. And there was a part of my life where I was on that, like, oh, we're having dinner. It's Reese cups and potato chips and Slim Jims and Mountain Dew. Like, all right, like come on, like that's not gonna make you feel good.
No,
but that's what, you know, people will know. They know what they know, and we're trying to break down those boxes and, you know, and give a lot of kids an option.
That's really cool.
Thanks.
Have you seen Michael Pollan's his documentary on Netflix called, I think it's In Defense of Food?
No, I haven't seen that. But I know that guy. He wrote the book The Omnivore's Dilemma.
I think so.
All right.
He also recently wrote one about hallucinogens and psilocybin, but we'll get into that later.
Okay.
Now he recently went on Joe Rogan, and I listened to that episode. But if you haven't checked that out, when we're on the topic of food, you gotta go check out Michael Pollan's stuff in general. Just because he has a deep understanding of how, you know, natural foods will interact with your body and how they'll decide how the different parts, aspects of you, your physicality and your personality and stuff like that. And I think his model diet was something like mostly plant-based.
Sure.
Or just real food. It was just real food. Like, yeah. Like a million years ago when we were just... when we were evolving, yes. You know, we were just eating the shit that comes out of the ground. You know what I mean? Yeah. We didn't have beefaroni. You know? Right. We didn't have Hamburger Helper back then.
No Doritos.
No Doritos. No Takis. Although Takis are great, but they destroy you inside and out.
Sure. Takis.
Have you had Takis?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. They are a bane of my existence, but they also feed me soul. They feed my soul deeply.
Yeah.
But that's something I've been getting into a lot more recently, is that idea of how much food can really put you together or tear you apart.
I think one of the things that, I mean, there's a lot of trendy diets out there and things like that, and everybody's on the paleo kick and things like that, which
my girlfriend's on keto.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, so... you know, but I think the best thing that you could do to gear yourself up for any like change, I mean, it's the 28-day rule or whatever, but I mean, there's a diet called the Whole30 and it's pretty much that.
Yeah.
You take out everything. You eat proteins and plants. That's what you eat. That's all you eat for a month. If you want to, you know, eat things after that, it's okay. Put them back in slowly, see what it does to your body. So you just kind of, and it's crazy because you go through this period where you get really, really sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure your mom knows about this. Mm. And it is terrible. I mean, and you know in your mind, if I just drove through and got like a Whopper, I would feel great. I'd feel great. I wouldn't be sick. And it's really the flu. I mean, you are detoxing. Like, it's awful. But then when you get over that, you know, you really start to notice how food affects you because you've cleansed yourself of those toxins. So when you put something back in, you can feel its effects. When you eat a grape, it feels like you're eating sugar. You know, I mean, there's natural sugar, of course, but, you know, it's like processed sugar because it's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, versus like, oh, let's put some honey on this fruit salad. This will be great. It's like you're eating things like, oh, my God, it's so sweet. This is crazy. I can't eat very many grapes now. So to remove all those toxins and just to have a hard look at yourself, which is not easy for anyone, to give yourself 30 days and just, you know, evaluate your mind and your existence and sit in it. And then you'll know what to do. You'll know what's affecting you when you put it right back in.
So pedestrians, we challenge you.
There it is.
30 days.
30 days.
Do what Penn Jillette did and only eat potatoes. Do you know about that?
I don't know about that.
Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller.
Yeah, of course.
Like, used to be, I don't know. I don't know exactly how many pounds, but a lot of pounds. And he did...
He's the taller guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
A ginormous man.
Yeah.
He ate only one potato a day for like a year or something.
That doesn't sound healthy.
But it was like he chose the most versatile food because you can just turn it into anything.
You can,
right?
Really flip a potato. There's a lot of different things.
So many different ways you can eat a potato. And he did that and he lost. I mean, look at him now. He looks great. I think he lost like 150, 200 pounds. That's insane. Probably not the healthiest thing in the world, but.
Yeah.
I just. Like the potato diet. Like, that's not one of the trendy ones, but apparently it works. So.
Sure.
My friend was telling me you could survive off nothing but beer for months and months and months.
There are a lot of people that think that. Yeah.
I think I know a few.
Yeah, that's really trendy nowadays. I've heard a lot about that.
Beer diet. It'll be popping in the 2-0.
Yeah. Is that what we're calling it? The 2-0.
This year is 20 grind teen. What's next year?
20 grind teen.
20 grind teen.
Something to do with 2020 vision. Corny puns.
20 plenty. I don't know. Something campy.
2020 is the year that we set up for 2021.
That's Isn't that every...
No, but like 2021, I'm going to be president.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big goal.
That is, yeah, I'm going to be president 2021, and then I'm going to use the U.S.'s armed forces and just start capturing all the territories around. We're going to take over the new world first, then we're going to head for the old world.
This is reminding me of when we had Morgan Harper on the show and you asked her about, or what did you say about acid? You said something about acid. She was like, oh, okay.
I said we should put acid in the White House's water supply.
Mind you, this is someone that's running to represent the 3rd District of Ohio in Congress. We had them here and he was like, yeah,
why
I think
you
we should
say that
just...
like that? That makes me sound like a fucking asshole.
It's hilarious.
I'm just saying, man. It might not make things better, but it can't make things worse.
I don't know about that.
That's a slogan. That's a campaign slogan.
I do like that slogan. I don't know. Or maybe there's already existing acid in the water.
I just think that if Trump had a really good, maybe even a really bad acid trip, that might help.
Oh, Trump's definitely on uppers all the time, dude. You know, that man is 70 and 71 or whatever he is now.
He's
ageless, timeless, whatever. And he has so much energy. He
wakes up in the morning, takes an Ambien, mixes that with a little...
Downs 5... Big Macs, and then goes on a campaign stage.
Big Mac, Vicodin, and an Adderall, that'll get you right. That's the American way.
Can you tell I've been listening to too much Joe Rogan lately?
I don't know. I don't listen to Joe Rogan.
That's like all they talk about on there. It's
really?
Like, dude, Trump's on acid, or Trump's on meth, man.
Really?
All the time, man.
Really?
You tried meth? It's pretty cool. Like,
no.
Yeah, right.
No, they do that more with, like, shrooms.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah. Legalized psychedelics.
The last episode we released of the show is called Legalize All Drugs.
Yeah.
So you can get what that episode's about.
Legalize.
But this episode is not called Legalize All Drugs. I don't know what it's called yet. Let's talk about your music videography.
All right.
That's something we haven't quite touched on today.
Yeah.
Because, okay, first of all, plug Visioneer's Spotlight, because Sam Rothstein and Danny Rogers, also known as Ace on Intrigue, put on this really dope fucking event called Visioneer's Spotlight, and it's at it's every first Tuesday of each month. And it's at Wild Goose Creative. And I was going to be there last time, but I was sick. So, but I'm going to try and be at every single Visioneer Spotlight that happens for the foreseeable future. So, basically what it is, Sam and Danny do a film podcast at the beginning where they watch a classic film. Like, the first episode was... Mad Max Fury Road, and they played not the whole movie, but they did an episode where they riffed on it for an hour, and those guys can fucking talk. You know, they're
nonstop. Sam's like that.
They're legends, man.
He's passionate about film. Me and Sam have been friends for years now. I met him in the hip hop scene.
Yeah.
And I think Grant Gatsby, shout out to Grant Gatsby, hooked me up with Sam.
Big ups.
And said, there's this guy making videos and to his record. You guys need to meet.
Yeah.
Like, you guys really are going to hit it off. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. So, and, you know, since then I've shot some videos for Sam and we've become friends and played a lot of stages together. And, you know, he's got that amazing event. There hasn't been really a hub or showcase for videographers. And now it's like Sam and Danny bringing all these people and giving them a platform to just share and conspire. So it's a really sweet event. And, you know, again, shout outs to Sam for thinking of such great things and having the foresight to see a need and having the diligence to make it happen. Because everybody has an idea, but
the execution
exactly.
This thing.
Yeah, Sam and his camp are. For real, doing a lot to push our culture forward. And I appreciate them a lot because I don't think we'd be where we are today without the things like whatever they've done so far.
Yeah. I think Sam is somebody that this whole city should stand behind.
Yeah, man. Sam is underrated.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sam.
I don't know if Sam's underrated. I wouldn't go that far.
All of Columbus is underrated. Sam is underrated.
Columbus is an underrated city. Yeah. That is true. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole premise.
No, we're all underrated, but Sam is extra underrated.
It's true.
Yeah.
So when did you start shooting videos?
Probably like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the photography and videography stuff started for me with me getting an iPhone.
Yeah.
Because I was never had any intention of being a photographer or a videographer. I always had people around me that were, like, I had a video guy. So I just make the music. I'm the music guy. I need a video guy. And I was always my, you know, I had a team like that. But then I got an iPhone and was like, oh, I can just look at the back of the phone and see what I'm shooting. Like, and then graduated to like iPhoneography when that was a hot thing, you know, and did like iPhone exhibits and stuff like that. Like, maybe I need a camera. Like, whoa. So I kind of went down that road. And but really, how I got into all that stuff was just, I was an MTV kid. It was always been mixed media to me. Mm-hmm. Always. If there was a song, I want to see a video.
Yeah.
I want to see some kind of visual. And, you know, again, with the production, that stuff is vast. Like, to learn, you know, you think the beat game is heavy. When you jump into Premiere and DaVinci, like, it's a whole nother world.
Really?
There are parallels. Yeah. You know, you're looking at blocks, you're moving them, you're keeping a timeline, but it's big. It's big, you know, especially when you get into color grading and things like that. So...
And I have a lot to get into.
Oh, yeah.
But sorry, I cut you off.
You're fine. There's a value to knowing people.
Yeah.
And we both know that.
Sure.
You can always hit somebody up, but there's incredible intrinsic value in being a Swiss Army man as well. And I've been kind of slacking on that front, but, you know, just having to rely on people in certain situations when... you maybe have a time crunch, or, you know, there are a lot of things you have to put in place to make that system work. You have to keep these relationships going, and relationships are awesome. That's great. Never downplay the value of having good relationships with people around you that can provide expertise. But at the same time, it's not always a viable thing to be able to just send out a text and be like, hey, can you get this thing done for me? Or, you know, let's meet up on this day. There's so much more time you can save being able to do it all yourself too.
It's very, yes. And it's, I think there's a line in the sand that you have to be able to understand that you can't do everything, or you can't do everything as good as you possibly want. And to assemble a team where you can count on people, like you're saying, you know, I'm it's about investing in those relationships and coming through for people when they need something, to be able to have that relationship that you can call on them for the same way. Because a lot of relationships aren't that way. They're one-sided. You know, sometimes there's just payment and you do your work and get out. But those situations where you know, it's truly a collaborative effort, those are the ones that can stick. And, you know, and everybody comes, there's enough food for everybody to eat in the city. Like, everybody's dope. I mean, there's so many. I brag on the Columbus scene all the time. And that's not just hip-hop. I mean, you go to Rambling House and see some bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Dixton and see some jazz. Like, Al Rosa and see some metal. Like, Columbus is killing everything. The chefs, the food here. So, you know, meeting these people and having these connections and really building a foundation for people that you can call on when you need those things. I had a lot of those videographers that I was able to do that with, like, that showed me what was up. It would come over, like Mario Hensley of, you know, Visual House Media. He would leave his job early to come to my house and look at my, watch my video and give me pointers when I was making it an iMovie. Like, you know, it's like, oh, it doesn't look too bad. Like, ah, oh, I'm really, you know, and that's when I was like jacking clips off YouTube and remixing them. And you're like, I'm a videographer. You know? And he's like, yeah, man, you're getting there. I can't wait to see what you shoot. Like, what? Oh, yeah, I need a camera. Like, so just have those people that can give you tips, you know, like, and that's what I'm trying to do with you guys.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's one big thing that, going back to Columbus as a city, we laud that on this show all the time. It is the premise of the show, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a unique city in that I think we talked about this with Faye, where it's not there's not really a defining like music genre to Columbus. Like Columbus isn't a rap city or a bluegrass city. It's just kind of a music city.
Sure.
It's not really, I mean, we're, one thing that Columbus kind of leans toward is we're very service based. That's really all I can think of. You know what I mean? We're a very, I'm going to use the same quip. We're a very Swiss Army city, I would say, and how versatile the people that live here can be. You'll hear about like Nashville, and I'm very ignorant on city titles, so don't quote me on this, but like Nashville being a country city, or if that's correct at all.
That sounds right.
Yeah. But there are a lot of cities you can point to and just be like, oh, that's a city you can go to for, you know, for this specific thing. But I think something that we can capitalize on here is our not being funneled into one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, right now when outsiders say, they look at Columbus, they don't really say Columbus is a city for anything. A lot of people still say Columbus is a flyover city, which is going to change, but you people need to learn. You need to stop sleeping on us.
I'm just wondering what it'll take, you know? I mean,
someone's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Doobie's already doing his thing, but that's like one scene. We've got so many different scenes. I think we just need a rock star to come out of Columbus and put a light on everybody else.
Well, some of the rock bands in town are about to do that. You know, you got the Cordial Sins, who aren't playing around. They're out there doing it. And a band that I work exclusively with, the Warren Flints, and they're they're out
there.
Yeah,
you did a music video for them.
I did their music video, and I also have toured quite a bit with them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just jump in the van and be part of the band and just go document it. And those guys are real good friends of mine, and we do a lot of work together.
That's
and they're awesome. They're on their way. I mean, there's a lot of bands. I mean, Damn the Witch Siren, like a lot of the bands you have on, like there's no one's any like not as good as any other city. Like everybody here can hang.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Sam's trying to make it to where we just leave the city more, and Columbus can be like haterific sometimes. And I don't mean that toward each other, because that's changed a lot, that dynamic. When I was coming up, it was, I don't know, it was almost turf war kind of stuff, you know. It was very competitive, and that's good because that can fuel creativity. But I think now that's changed a lot, to where people are really working together and wanting to see and realizing like everybody can shine. There's enough for everybody, like, and we are the dopest. I mean, like I said, from chefs to teachers to politicians to, like, I mean, there's a lot of quality people in the city. So props to Columbus.
Oh yeah. And Adam Corwin on episode 28, one of my favorite quotes from the show, is like, man, there's 7 billion people on this earth. I'm not fighting anybody for any fucking fans, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We got enough for everybody.
Yeah, everybody can eat well.
It's true. We've talked a lot about eating today.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this yesterday.
Yes.
Like, I have a lot of fans. They just don't know it yet.
All right.
Hey.
I like it.
We're gonna get them all through this show. Don't worry.
Not all of them.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
In this room at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, every single person in here.
Probably about to like 25 people.
I'll have to open that closet door. It'll be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Do a tiny desk concert in Corey's bedroom.
You haven't freestyled on the show yet.
It's because I can't freestyle, boy.
Come on, man. We also didn't get any podcast ad libs.
Brat.
Cool.
It's a hippity hop. And we're on Corey's show, and we won't stop to the bang bang boogity riffing rapidy.
Boogie to the boogity beat. That was it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just take that and slap it at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Throw some 808s and hi hats on that, it'll be knocking.
Nice.
Maybe a little auto tune, give me that Young Thug feel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Huh. What are the stories of you beginning all of your endeavors, really? Like, what are the flint and steel moments that kind of started those flames for you?
I think I grew up, for me, I mean, on the real, was growing up in an undesirable place and wanting to have some control to do the things I wanted to do.
Hmm.
I didn't come from a typical background to where everyone's encouraging you to try all these new things that no one's ever done. You know, it was like, you can't do that. And I'm stubborn. So I'm like, well, why not? So, I mean,
show you.
You can't do this either. Okay, I'm going to do that too. Oh, well, you can't do that and that. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I got to do that now. So I don't know. I mean, so there's a bit of that. But also I had a lot of friends that were really into cool things. I had a very diverse group of people around me that were showing me different things. And, you know, like I said, I was an MTV kid, so I always saw music videos and things like that. I was always around food. So all the things I'm doing is an extension of my past life. You know, I went to school and you know, I was a family studies major because of, you know, how I grew up. And then, you know, the concentration of food comes in with that, with the family. So it all kind of became this big thing as to who I am. But all these little things kind of work together. So they're all kind of the same thing in my book, but they're not on paper, I guess.
Okay. You got a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Like a personal YouTube channel?
Yeah, Product 614.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, where can people find your work?
Product614.com. You can check me out there. Okay. And also maththetrees.com. That's my band.
Wearethecaravan.com as well. Yeah,
Rock and Roll Book Club. The R&R Book Club.com. That's my podcast as well. So we read a rock and roll book every month and report our findings at the end.
Hell yeah.
So,
that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, Product 614 on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Why is the P lowercase?
I just like the stylistically.
It looks cool, yeah.
I like that, and then it's just, I don't know. I felt like it was kind of the opposite of how things should look, and I felt like that.
Yeah.
I picked Product because, you know, people are like a product of their unique worlds. Wherever you grow up, you're going to be the product of that, and you can also be a commodity to, you know, a negative or positive.
Yeah.
So.
I like that.
I want to change that. So I just became Product and, you know, I flipped it like all caps with a lowercase P instead of, you know, capital P. And yeah. So I guess that's my story for that.
Make you stand out. Like an iMac.
Yeah, right. Sort of like that, yeah. That's cool. It.
Yeah,
sweet. Do you have any last-minute shout-outs to make?
Just all the people I work with. You know, Donnie Mossman, John Hubble, Drew from Pro Vidi Life.
Hmm.
You know, some of the people I dropped, all the guys on all my teams, you know, like, so just everybody. My students, my fans, whoever they are.
Yeah.
Just everybody. Columbus, and thanks for your support. I've been here doing this for a while. You know, I got my first DJ gig at Bernie's like way back in the day. Shout out to Jason Roush because I'll just tell the story and we'll wrap. But I had one turntable, an SP202. That's how I started.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy said that he would give me the money for a second turntable if I DJed Bernie's in a month. And this is when, you know, RJ's there, SA Smash. This is like Bernie's is happening. Like DJ Paz too.
Does Bernie's even exist anymore?
Nah.
I heard Blueprint and Illogic talking about Bernie's. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're like R.I.P. Bernie's. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Shout out Paz too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's my.
If we ever make a documentary, Bernie's has to go in the fucking documentary.
Oh, it definitely has to. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to go into it. Yeah, but Paz was there. Paz was there that night, and my dude Lo, I knew him from Sound Ideas, and he said he'd put me on. And I was like, I don't want that money that bad. I don't want to go. I mean, Prism's DJing there. Like, I didn't have two turntables. Mm. He's like, you got a month, dude. I'll buy this turntable for you. But you got a month. You have to play out. Like, shit. I didn't want to take that money. I was shook.
Yeah.
And then I show up there with my brand new Techniques record bag, my brand new Sony headphones, like looking like first day of school. Like, hey, man, I'm here to DJ, Lo. How's it going? And Prism looks at me and he just like shakes his head. Like, no. And I'm like, yes, I'm so glad. That's great. Thank you, Prism. Thank you for hating on me. Like, that's so good. Thank you. I look like a dork. I know it. And then he came around and Lo's like, nah, man, let's put him on. And then I'm just getting ready to leave. My buddy's like, it's okay. You tried. We came. You had your records. And then we're getting ready to walk out. We're finishing our drink. And I get a tap on my shoulder. I'm like, I turn around slow. He's like, yo, you're up next. I'm like, no. And all the homies were there. I mean, Damon's there, like everybody. And I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to do this. And I decided to do it. So the set went really well. You know, I'd been DJing off two turntables for 1 month, and my buddy honored the agreement and bought the turntable for me, and you know, I paid him back, of course. But you know, so yeah. So Bernie's, that's a big part of you know, Columbus history. Along with the Groove Shack. So if you guys don't know that, the Groove Shack was pre-Bernie's. So everybody graduated to Bernie's, but the Groove Shack was where it was first happening. That's when the megahertz were first coming out. There actually is a Groove Shack documentary that's really hard to find. Somebody shared it with me, and it was just a home screening. And, you know, Camus in there, rest in peace. And, like, it's everybody. Yeah. Pete. Copyright, like all those dudes, so a lot of rich history.
Okay.
So
Bernie's was a spot. Bernie's isn't here anymore.
No.
Do you see any place in Columbus right now that is like the new Bernie's?
No, I mean, I guess Sam would be the question for that, because Sam throws so many events.
And yeah.
I don't know if there's a home for it. It seems like there's several.
Have you been to Declassified yet?
Yeah, I shot one for Sam. I think that was downtown.
How do you think?
Yeah, that's like right over here.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think that compares to Bernie's?
It's different, man. It's a whole different scene. Like hip hop was so different then.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, it wasn't. You know, it was coming off the, you know, the 90s, and like, it was different. It was just different. It was really being the big thing that it should have been. So now it's I don't know. It's on par with all the other genres of music, to where hip hop's like not this new thing, it's just a legit form of, you know, entertainment, and and there's more, I think more venues have opened up to the idea.
Oh yeah.
Where back then they could only do it at Groove Shack. They could only do it at Bernie's. It was hard to get those gigs.
Yeah.
Now it's like you want to do a hip hop show, that's just you want to book a show.
Super Duty Tough Work talked about this, the whole gangster rap image.
Sure.
Sort of made it hard to get bookings back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was rough.
Even if you weren't a gangster rapper, they were just like, oh, you're hip-hop?
Yeah.
Stay out of here.
Yeah, so
we don't want that trouble.
That's true, and that's how it used to be. Yep. So, and I think that's changed over the years, you know, because it's more, you know, like I said, it's a legit form of music, so people are more accepting to throw those shows.
Yeah.
I have learned a lot today.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, hip-hop has changed, man.
Especially in
where's it going to go?
I think it's going. Someone say crypto. That's where it's
no hip hop. I think 2020, in the 20s, hip hop is dead. Hip hop is gonna go back to being sort of like an underground thing. I think all these mainstream artists right now, they're gonna fall off. That's gonna be fucked because they're gonna be stuck with like hundreds of thousands of dollars in jewelry and no real assets. So, RIP to you. Start investing now, boys. Because like your art form, your whole platform is going away. I think everybody's getting sick of this whole like on the melodies and the hi-hat. Like they're using the same drums, bro. They're using the same kind of drums on every single track. You know how many different kind of drum sounds there are, and you're just on the hi-hats and the that same like and the like that's it. Like come on, let's get some real drums in here. Like, we've got so much technology. I don't think that hip-hop is gonna continue being hip-hop. I think we're just gonna evolve into, like everyone's gonna do their own thing. I think that there will still be MCs, and hip-hop should... It's gonna be valued as what it is, what it was always supposed to be. Just, like, dope-ass lyricists on some grimy old school beats. I think that that's always going to be around. But I think that as far as popular music goes, I think that it's just going to be some indie stuff. I think hip hop is going to influence music for the next century. I think that hip hop is probably like hip hop challenges rock and roll. I guess I never was around in the days of rock and roll, but hip hop is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. So hip-hop should leave a very long impact, a very lasting impact on culture.
Did you hear who we lost today?
Who?
Do you know about Juice WRLD? Juice WRLD died today.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Juice WRLD is dead?
Juice WRLD had a seizure in an airport and died today.
Holy shit.
It was like 2.5 hours ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Poor Juice.
Shit's insane.
I didn't even, like, rock with him like that, but he was too young to die, man.
He's 21.
He's my age. Oh, my God. Dude, that sucks.
And that's somebody that's going to contribute to that legacy, you know? Somebody that's going to contribute to, you know, that influence over the next, like you said, century.
I don't know about Juice WRLD.
But
Juice WRLD was a...
His impact is going to be more, you know what I mean?
He's not, like, a legend, but, like...
Yeah.
I'm sure people are going to mourn Juice WRLD. He's more impactful than a lot of these new guys, so...
Who were some of your most impactful MCs?
For me, probably the most impactful on me personally, Michi Darko, from Flatbush Zombies.
Okay.
And then, as far as, like, just the idea of flow, Biggie really influenced me for flow. Pac isn't my favorite, like, songwriter, but just, he's inspiring for what he did outside of his music to me. It's kind of cool how his music reflects his life.
I don't hear that enough. You know, I can respect that. Mm-hmm. I've gone on record many times and saying I'm not a Pac fan. I mm-hmm. respect him, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm not even that huge a Biggie fan. Are they dope? Yes, of course. But are they my guys? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, rest in peace, of course. Yeah. And all those things in respect of them. But, you know, there's...
I mean, I'm still diving into the hip-hop that you probably grew up on. Sure. So, there's a lot of people for me to...
You know Rakim?
Yeah, Rakim is the man. Rakim changed everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rakim. You know Guru from Gangstar?
Yeah.
Nope. Never heard of him.
Gangstar.
Love Guru.
Check. Yeah. DJ Premier's on the beat, so that's just a powerhouse tag team.
Okay, yeah. Corey, you probably know more about this shit than I do. I'm like, I dive into a lot of different genres. Like this year, I got into dancehall a lot.
Sure.
I love grime music.
What about the guys on Griselda? You know those guys? If you're talking about these old school grimy beats and really nasty lyrics, you got
West Side Gun.
Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, and Conway.
Yeah,
they just put out a record on Shady. So they're out of Buffalo, which Buffalo hasn't had a ton. I think Mayhem Lorenz from there too, but they haven't had a ton of love. I mean, New York just gets, you know, bombarded with it's just all New York, but these are some dudes from Buffalo just smashing it. I mean, it's really gritty. It's gritty.
What's the album name?
The label or their camp is called Griselda, G-R-I-S.
Griselda Records.
Yeah, yeah. So if you, and they just put something on Shady. So, but they're doing it. Benny the Butcher, Tana Talk 3, that record's real hot. I mean, so, I mess with those dudes.
West Side Gun is one of my favorite artists.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's an interesting cat, man. I mean, he's got a vision. He's one of those, like, Aesop Rock characters, but I'm like, I don't know what the hell this guy's doing.
Yeah.
But then I keep listening to him. Like, what if... It's real, like, you know...
Oh,
what
I hate like, this so much.
You know, like, yeah, like, what is going on here? I don't... Like, now he's... What's this deal with the ski mask and a big coat? Like, he's not... Now he's doing fashion, but, like, yeah, he's... I keep paying attention, so...
Yeah, Supreme Blindtell is how I got into it. And that came out.
This is some underground shit.
Yeah.
But Eminem...
Not to be very long.
Eminem is featured on a song they uploaded a week ago, so...
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, they just put it out on Shady. So, wow. But they have a bunch of records before that, and they put out mixtapes all the time, so their catalog's pretty vast, all of them. So they stay grinded.
Yeah, West Side Gun is very underrated right now.
You guys mess with Sean Price, you should listen to Sean Price.
Sean Price.
Rest in peace. Not, you know, P. He's so dope.
Dude, I can't believe fucking Juice WRLD is dead.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, like...
Just popped up on my phone like 2.5 hours ago. I was like...
Fuck, man.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Price.
Man. I hope his friends and family are doing okay.
Yeah.
I would pray, but like... What's that gonna do?
Well, is there anything positive we can talk about before wrapping up the show?
Yeah, leave it on. Juice WRLD's dead. Goodbye, everybody.
And subscribe.
Like, yeah. Thank you for listening this week.
No, you know what? Actually, I'd like to know what some of your influences are as an MC.
I'm not an MC.
Oh.
You're not? Okay, excuse me.
As a musician, yes.
Production-wise, one of my biggest influences is Jeff Barrow from Portishead.
Mm-hmm.
He leads a band and orchestra as a DJ. And that was nice. Always kind of one of my goals, to be a band leader off turntables. And
that's, you know, a dream, dude.
So I really... And that's all that down-tempo trip-hop. If you guys missed that, check out Portishead, Massive Attack, all those dudes.
Massive Attack's good.
Yeah. Those guys, but, you know, it goes all over the place. You know, I was into rock and roll. I was into metal. I mean, Premiere. On the beats, I love Premiere. You know, Ninth Wonder, Pete Rock,
yeah,
Dilla. You know, I'm like, you Dilla, you a Dilla fan?
I've been meaning to get into Dilla.
You might want to check him out.
Yeah,
just saying.
I went and saw Slum Village live a few months ago. Okay. They played at Scully's.
Sure. Yeah.
That was dope. They're doing a lot of tributes there.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, like LP.
Yeah.
But I got into him through RTJ.
I mean, yeah. See, I was like, I've been listening to him for like literally like 20 years. Yeah.
Holy shit.
You know, now he's getting his shine, but this dude's been grinded.
That's crazy. 20 years, man.
Yeah.
Pump this shit. Yeah.
So, like they do in the future.
Yeah. Like they do in the future.
But yeah, I mean, Company Flow, super dope. And his production was, you know, just really. I don't know, like Blade Runner meets DJ Shadow. DJ Shadow was a big influence.
DJ Shadow, dude.
So Shadow, I mean, and then, you know, then I got my, you know, scratch DJs like DJ Cuber and things like that. But then I have guitarists that influence me to, you know, write songs. So I really try to take something from everything that's just quality artistry.
Yeah.
You know, minus genre. If I like it, I like it. I don't go too poppy. My lane's kind of like that grim, like kind of sad, melancholy vibe, you know, Daniel Johnston to, you know, things like that.
Man, you gotta meet Luke. Like, I wish Luke was here right now.
Where are you, Luke? Come on.
Okay, yeah.
He just apparates out of thin air in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Well, we plug Luke a lot. People who listen to this show know who Luke is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a friend who's an amazing producer who nobody knows about. We have the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to get, you know, Luke and J-Vision together.
That'll be really interesting, man. I'm going to look up J-Vision.
He's kind of off the grid, but he's like the best. He like literally is. He built a big shed outside of his house.
Yeah.
And it does nothing but has records and a computer.
That's awesome.
And this guy, he digs constantly. And he's making stuff.
That's crazy.
But people haven't heard it because he doesn't upload or anything.
Yeah.
But if you go to his house down by the river of his record shed, and he'll just, you know, just kill you with beats. So, Jay, let's get that stuff out here, man. It's almost 2020. Let's do this.
Let's get on the show. All right.
All right.
In this studio.
Jay Vision, I'm coming for you.
I'll hit him up.
We got to have like a producer episode.
Yeah, just a bunch of producers sitting there talking about shit I don't know.
That would be
about.
Awesome. Yeah, I could take a lead. I could be like, so guys,
you want to host an episode?
Sure, I'll talk about all the nerdy shit. I'll talk about compressors and reverb and sidechaining and EQing. And which do you prefer, waves or?
Are you on waves?
I have some wave stuff, but me and my friend try to get higher quality than waves if we can. Waves is just cheap.
What waves are you messing with?
I mean, do you like some waves products? Because we've like really been getting into Isotope. Like I got this really good.
You mess with Iris?
Iris. I don't
Isotope
think
that's Iris.
That's what does that do? I don't think I have it.
He builds synthesizers from, you know, organic sounds.
That sounds dope. I don't know that much sound design yet.
You'll get there.
Yeah. First thing I'm going to learn is how to make some killer 808s, because I want to have some shit that just hits you in your soul.
There is. I like that. I'm looking forward to checking your stuff out when I get out of here.
Hell yeah.
I want to thank you guys for having me out.
Yeah, of course.
Plugging my whole life. So thank you.
Thank you for making the time.
Yeah, man.
For figuring out the shitty parking structure.
That's all right.
We appreciate that.
And you know, you guys can call on me, like, you know, if you need some advice on like podcasting or beats or cameras or video.
So, I appreciate that.
Yeah, in respect.
Thank you very much. We will see you next Wednesday morning. We are going to be releasing some double weeks here coming up. We have some extra episodes flowing in off schedule.
I'm not even getting paid overtime. It's bullshit.
I know, right? You're in it for the love, Zay.
Yeah, come on. For the love.
If you're on that mailing list, you know what's coming up in the next 2 weeks. But if you're not,
You know the drill.
Get on that.
You got to get on that. You got to send us your email. You'll be knowing. You'll be in the know. You will be a true pedestrian. We'll see you next week.
Peace.